Welcome to episode 6 of the SEO for Photographers podcast from Dylan and Corey of Feel Your Photos. Today we're going to talk about the common tasks that we do on a daily, weekly, monthly, and annual basis to keep working on our SEO and improving our marketing.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a good one because people are often asking, like, what do I need to be doing every day on my SEO? And it's a hard question to answer because kind of depends on where you are in the process, but we're kind of taking the assumption here that you've done a lot of the foundational SEO work to your site where you've maybe done a little bit of keyword research, have some pretty decent titles and meta descriptions, you've cleaned up most of the indexation problems, site speed problems. Like, you're in pretty good shape. And it's kind of similar to when we talked before about, you know, if you've done all the basics, how do you take it to the next level? This is more of like, when you've done all the basics, how do you maintain, or like, what are the activities that you could be doing that should help your rankings in the long term? So should we start with daily tasks?
Yeah, totally.
Cool. I'll let you go first.
Totally. So for me, my SEO generally starts over my morning coffee. I like to make some coffee, maybe some breakfast, and I pull up my favorite rank tracking tool. And I should preface this that rank tracking tools in 2020 are wildly inaccurate. They do not tell the full story and don't really matter much. But it's something that I've done forever and I still see some value from it. So I open, it's called SERP Robot, and I look at all of my sites. It quickly tells me like how many keywords have moved up, how many keywords have moved down, and how many have stayed the same. And so I can look at all the sites that I've worked on, and just from seeing those three numbers, I can tell if I'm having a decent day, a bad day, or a medium day, kind of. And it gives me a general clue of like, has there been a massive algorithm change? If I see every site across the board is up with a lot of keywords or down with a lot of keywords, or is it just like business as usual? And like I said, the keyword tool is only as good as the data you put into it. So like, I'm only tracking a handful of keywords on a site that might rank for 10,000 separate keywords on a monthly basis. So like, these numbers are not going to be accurate. Search Console is what's going to give you the real data, but this is like a good test or a good tool for me to look at and just like see a top level view.
Yeah, I feel like that's a really good thing for you to do, especially when you're an SEO. Like, yep. If you're someone who kind of has your hands on the controls of multiple sites and you need to be like really in tune with the algorithms and, you know, how things are fluctuating and what kinds of changes might be happening across the board, checking something like that on a daily basis probably makes a lot of sense. I know for myself personally, I put this in the weekly category because I don't like to check rankings too often because it can lead to making bad decisions sometimes. Now, obviously, yeah, Someone like ourselves, we're going to have a pretty good idea of like whether it's something to act on or not. But I think for most people, if you haven't been tracking rankings for years and knowing exactly what fluctuations look like, you could be really tempted to see that your ranking went down and then you go react and make some changes the next day. You know, instead of it going back up like it would have if you didn't do anything, it stays down or goes down even further because now you've made changes in a volatile time. So just be careful. That's all, yeah, I have to say about
that. That's an awesome point. I mean, pretty much I think that's the best point, is that I watch these rankings and I rarely act. So like, it's something that allows me to see what's going on with the sites kind of, but I will say that the main benefit that I see for photographers, and I've seen this with a lot of clients or people in our SEO course, is that it motivates them to not necessarily act or to make changes based on the rankings they're seeing, but if they see that their rankings are improving, it motivates them to put a little bit more effort into SEO that might lead to even more success. And if they see that their rankings are going down, generally, instead of getting discouraged, they reach out and they're like, hey, like, what do you think I should work on? Or they go back to like some of the course fundamentals and figure out where they can actually improve the situation outside of just throwing some changes into their content that day or something.
Yeah, but just know if you see rankings going down in a day or 2 days or 3 days or, you know, whatever, in some random keyword checking tool, even in Search Console, it doesn't mean that you need to freak out necessarily. There are normal fluctuations that happen, and, you know, on a day-to-day basis, the same person could do the same search back-to-back and get different results. So there's a lot of things that, you know, it's hard to mark keyword rankings in a specific number and it be even remotely accurate. That's why,
yep,
Search Console, you get averages. Now, one thing I was thinking about as we were talking about this that we don't have on our list of notes is that I think it could be interesting to check for SERP features, especially featured snippets.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would check daily.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're so volatile right now, they can like jump in and out. I know, like, for example, I have a site that is an article that's more of an affiliate article. And for a while I had a featured snippet and then I lost it to someone else because they came in and made some changes to their title. But then also they kind of answered the question a little more directly in one section of the page. It was clear that they made those changes to get that featured snippet. And the sooner you can see that that's happening, the sooner you can act to try to get a featured snippet back. Now, the problem is, tracking featured snippets, if you're going to do it any way other than manually, it's going to probably require a premium tool, something like SEMrush, AccuRanker. Some of the bigger ranking tools will do this for you. They'll check for featured snippets, and you know, you could probably even set up alerts on some of these to tell you if you lose or gain a featured snippet. That'd be something that'd be really interesting to track
on a
daily or weekly basis.
Yeah, and you're right. Featured snippets, because they're so volatile, those are, even in my regular keyword tracking tools, that's most of the changes that I pick up. Because it will, typically my keyword tracking tools will show a featured snippet as position one, even though it's technically position zero. And I can go in and manually check and see what's going on and see what the competition's doing. So yeah, you're right. Featured snippets are such an opportunity to actually kind of watch closer than the typical result.
Let's move into the next point here on daily, because we were talking about keyword tracking, and then I mentioned some tools may even monitor and tell you, give you an alert whenever you gain or lose rankings or a featured snippet. So my next point for something that I would do daily is monitoring, and I would probably use tools for this and not actually manually monitor these things on a daily basis. But the main two that I use personally are Uptime Robot, which just checks whether your site is up or down, and it can check it, you know, every, I think I have it set the default, which is like every 5 minutes it checks to tell whether it's up or down. If it's ever down, it sends you an email. And I also sometimes set up Google alerts for things like my brand or the main keywords that I'm targeting or the topic that I like to cover, to see, you know, who else is trying to create content around this topic or who's talking about my brand that I need to reach out to and thank them or ask them to link to me or ask them to update with more accurate information. We just came across an article today where someone had mentioned us and they linked to the wrong thing in their notes, and we need to reach out to that person and say, hey, could we update that link? So having those kinds of monitors in place can let that happen automatically, and then you can do those as needed.
Awesome tip. And I, even on that same point, like yesterday we had a text message from an Uptime notification from a hosting company for a site. So these things are awesome. They help keep your sites up and quickly fix problems. Super important.
Yep. Do you have any other daily tasks?
Well, I was going to say that I watch industry and SEO news. For most photographers, they probably don't need to actually like stay up to date on SEO news, but keeping up with trends as they're emerging in the industry can lead to having timely content either on social media or even on your blog. If you're the first mover, generally you're going to have a higher chance of ranking. So the first person to blog about coronavirus wedding planning is probably going to rank better for that, and they're probably going to get picked up and mentioned in news articles more than anybody else. So not necessarily, that's not an example of something you have to do, but like staying up with trends is going to probably lead to more timely information on your blog.
Yeah. Hey, do you have any kind of like Twitter list or any other list of SEO pros that someone could just like follow all at one time?
You know, I should create that. I don't.
We should create a podcast for SEOs, or not a podcast for SEOs, but the list, the thing that you use for that post roundup.
Listen later.
Called? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we can basically roll some things that people might want to listen to into one playlist.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I do have a good Twitter list that I follow for photographers. I'll try to share that in the show notes. And it's more like the film hipstery photographers, but there's also some like good industry chit chat. And it's just nice. I feel like some of those, I think that Twitter right now is a sometimes better news source than other social media platforms for just seeing people talk about the industry. So
yeah, it's funny because Dylan likes Twitter and I hate Twitter.
Yeah.
And so we're always discussing whether there's any useful
actual value.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. I think I had one other thing. Oh yeah, daily. One thing you could potentially do is add your voice to conversations around the web. So this actually would tie in really well to that if you are following other people on Twitter or any other social platform, and you can see when they post new things or have new, they share their content or they have thoughts that they're posting, and you can just be part of that conversation. It doesn't necessarily sound like an SEO task, but think about potentially commenting on YouTube videos, blogs, Quora forums, other things like that where people are asking questions. What happens is whenever your name, and by the way, another tip here is potentially use your business name on as your profile. So I might use Ablaze Photography instead of Corey Potter, or either way, you know, if I use Corey Potter, Google knows the fact that I own that photography business. And so you can build authority into your name or your business. You can let more people be exposed to your brand. You know, there's a lot of good things that can happen by adding your voice as an expert around the web to people who are already having conversations that apply to your audience.
Totally. And really, like, don't be afraid to interact with like experts in the field. I think one thing that's always kind of helped my career in general across like SEO and photography is having conversations with the people that are kind of top in the field and just acting like, hey, I belong here too. I can be in this conversation. It's never too early to do that. So
not to mention another thing that's been interesting for me is that whenever you have those conversations, often you'll be surprised at how you can ask someone for something and they'll say yes, even though you kind of perceive them as like a celebrity or someone who's, you know, way more experienced than you. That's how, I mean, how I first started as a photographer is I just reached out to a photographer and I said, I really like your work. I was just basically emailed them as a compliment and they messaged me back and they're like, well, do you do any photography? Cause I'm looking for a second shooter right now. And I was like, what?
<That's> okay. <amazing.
laughs> And nice. That kicked off my photography career.
That's epic.
But that's happened in multiple occasions too, with like guest posts where I just start talking to someone on a comment on their blog and they're like, eventually we have a conversation and it leads to me writing for them or them writing for me or an interview or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, on one of my affiliate side projects last week, I just had kind of like been active in the community surrounding, it's like a cycling wheel review I did. And I ended up friend requesting the CEO of the company for the wheels. And we had like a hour long Facebook chat. And like now I consider him like a friend or an acquaintance that like, it's going to be a beneficial relationship for that side project. So
yeah, I feel like this is one of those things where it's really hard for people to see this as SEO. Whenever people ask, what can I do daily for SEO? They're really wanting us to say that they should be going in and adding alt text and changing their file names and stuff like that. And what we want to say is go build relationships.
Exactly.
Like, nurture those relationships, have conversations with people, become a leader and authority in your industry. That takes daily work and being disciplined and being intentional. And it will pay off in the long run.
And it's not that difficult. No. It's much less monotonous and time consuming than alt text, file names, keyword densities, all that stuff.
But that's not all. We have more. We have some things that are weekly and monthly tasks as well. Did you have any other daily? I think you had,
I had one other. I like to watch the live traffic in Google Analytics. So if you're in Google Analytics and you're on the home screen, it generally shows like how many active users you currently have. I'm looking at the Fuel Your Photos right now, and we have 4 people on the site. I can see what pages they're on, and you can go deeper. If you go into the actual real-time report, you can see how they got to your site, what actions they've taken, anything like that. And it's interesting. I think I usually, what I get from this data is it prompts me that sometimes they're on an outdated piece of content, and I'll be like, oh gosh, I forgot that that was live on my site. Let me add a note to change that this week or to update it. Today I was watching traffic, and I realized somebody was on a somewhat outdated landing page on our site, and it made me think like, hey, like I was having issues with the add to cart button this week. Do the cart buttons work on that? Do I even want people on this page, and should I put a redirect in place? And so I checked, made sure the cart buttons work. And then I actually did put a redirect in place to make it so people can't get to that page, that they're going to go to the more up-to-date version. So, I think it's a really good prompt to watch where people are on your site, how they're interacting with it, and spot potential problems.
Yeah, and I'll give one more little pro tip here. If you do want to track analytics or even Google My Business on a daily basis or even weekly, a couple times a week, add the apps to your phone. Google Analytics has an app, and Google My Business has an app. Is there a Search Console app? I don't think I've ever seen it.
No, there isn't.
That's interesting.
I know. We should make
there
one.
Should be.
We should make one.
Anyway, API. So yeah, add those apps, because they're really easy to just like jump in and look at that kind of stuff when you're, you know, sitting on the toilet or whatever you're doing.
For sure.
That's an easy way to kind of just spy on people on your site or get an idea of what's going on.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, all right, let's move on to weekly tasks, things that you don't necessarily need to do every day, but probably need to check in on pretty regularly.
Cool. Let's hear it.
I guess the first thing for me, I say this, but I'm actually really bad about it because I think I'm a great procrastinator. I would like to weekly be working on content that I intend to publish monthly. So In many cases, it may be that you want to publish content weekly and you should work on that daily. But the idea is that, like, don't let it build up to the point where you need to spend 20 hours in one day to put together a piece of content, or that you feel really rushed, or that you're not doing a good job. If you're going to publish something monthly, then, you know, spend a few hours a week and you'll be able to get it to a point where that one day when you're ready to get it ready to publish, then you could spend a few hours and it will be already mostly done, and you're just kind of polishing and working on titles and things like that. So for me, that's the first thing, is to work on content creation on a weekly basis. And I actually left out one of my daily tasks that could probably just kind of go along with this weekly task, which is topic brainstorming.
Yeah.
One of the things that I used to do, and I haven't done this recently, but I need to get back into it. Now that it's spring and like I'm back in a better mental place, I think I might start this habit again. I would just open up Trello, and then every day I would start a new list, and I would just add cards, whatever popped into my mind, new ideas, content ideas, whatever it was, I would just write it down. And every day I would sit down and do that for at least 10 minutes or something like that. And it just kind of started my day in like this place of creativity and thinking and opportunity and all that. So I think that would be a great idea to do daily or weekly to try to generate some new ideas, force yourself to be creative and think outside the box, and then work on creating content for some of those ideas.
Yeah. Speaking of Trello, I just added this to the list, but in the larger projects and the organizations that I've done consulting with, and just with us, between Corey and I, we do a weekly stand-up, and we create a board for the week and have cards that we think that we can actually get done for that week, kind of like a little sprint planning. Even if it's by yourself, I think that this would be a good like process to do. Just creating a board of what you actually realistically feel like you can accomplish for the week, setting those goals on like the Sunday or Monday, and then keeping that progress through the week and tracking that, and to just be like, am I actually getting these tasks done, or am I working on other projects? I think that that would be really good for the just overall like structure of your week.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not necessarily an SEO task, but it is something where if you're going to be working actively on your SEO, you need to set those goals and have some way to check in on it and make sure that you're making progress. If people are not sure what Dylan was just talking about when he said words like stand up and sprint,
yeah.
Those are very commonly used in software development. If you look up there's a project management technique or method called Scrum, mm-hmm. and there's also, you know, just in general agile project development. You look up those on Google. There's some books that I've read. There's some interesting articles and YouTube videos. Lots of really interesting thoughts on productivity and working with a team. Maybe it won't work well for a single person, but I know even as a photographer, I read those books when I was a photographer, and it did help me run my business more efficiently. So, random side note.
Yeah, that's awesome. Getting back into weekly tasks that I do, I jump into Search Console and do comparative analysis, where I compare week over week traffic and 28 days over 28 days traffic. And I'm looking for the top gaining either queries or pages. And I look for the like top gaining impressions, top gaining clicks, or top losing impressions, top losing clicks. Just looking to see like what actually has moved on the site, and are there opportunities for me to fix or create content that's better suited to those queries?
Yep.
Yeah.
I like that. And it's good to do that. When I check my rankings weekly, I'm doing essentially the same thing. I don't always do comparative. Sometimes I'll just look at it and kind of see how the chart's looking.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a great idea, especially if you're up or down significantly.
Yeah.
Like if you're just kind of holding steady, it might not be as useful to do comparative. But even then, sometimes holding steady can be deceptive. Sometimes you'll have some new winners and some new losers, and then it looks on the graph like it's just staying the same.
Yep.
But in reality, you're getting much more traffic from certain new pages and losing traffic from some of your other pages that were ranking. So it's a great argument to definitely check week over week or month over month when you get into Search Console.
Yeah, I had one project I was working on that it did that like really deceptive change where the Google Analytics organic traffic graph looked flat to like slightly up. But if you looked in Search Console, the web clicks went down by like 30%, and the image clicks took all of that traffic loss almost at the same time. So like one was gaining and one was losing almost at the same time. So analytics looked flat, but there were actually huge changes to where the traffic was coming from.
Yeah, this happens pretty often if you're publishing new content regularly. I've seen it whenever I was doing better in the old days about like publishing to Fuel Your Photos blog frequently. Mm-hmm. I would see often that a new article would take off, but at the same time, one of the older articles would kind of stop ranking and getting traffic. So it is good to look at that. Another weekly task that I have on here is to reshare old content with your audience. And I think we'll kind of talk about that a little bit more in the monthly section, but just know that even if you've shared something before, this is something we need to practice, definitely.
For sure.
We've got so much content out there right now, but like, for example, the Fuel Your Photos Facebook group is growing somewhere around 100 new members per week or something like that. And so there's hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands of people who haven't seen the content that I was sharing a year ago. And in my mind, it's like, oh, well, I've already shared that. But for these people, it's brand new. If you have an audience, if you have an email list, if you have a client Facebook group, if you have any kind of way that you can share something, whether it's Instagram stories, whatever, reshare some of that content that you've already published in the past that you think new followers would be interested in. Or even the same followers, yeah. Like you're never going to get 100% reach anytime you share something.
I mean, it's so true.
Like, it's like what, 3% to 10% on average for a lot of things?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the one stat that pushed me to be like, oh, I can share a popular photo on Instagram 10 times and a small section of like super users that really follow everything I do might see that multiple times. most people will see it for the first time.
Yeah.
It's unreal. For a weekly task for me, let's see what else I do. I guess I do try to get at least one piece of content published. And I guess between the podcast, the blog, guest post, etc., I usually do that. But I really do want to get more consistent with my actual blog posting. I've been a little bit sidetracked with getting this podcast up and stuff like that, so it's been a little bit more difficult, but regularly writing it's not the myth that Google wants to see consistent content from you, but it's more your audience can get into the rhythm of there's a weekly post from Dylan about SEO, and they'll start looking for that, and they'll start wondering like, hey, it's Monday at 10 a.m. He normally posts at 9. Where is it? You know? And so that, I think that's just a really good habit to get into.
I like it. And I do think that publishing weekly is like, if you're ambitious,
yeah,
that's a really good goal. I mean, I'm talking about a blog post, like a new piece of content that's not just any content. I mean, you could consider an Instagram post content, right? Or anything else. And that kind of leads to the last thing I had on a weekly task. If I were being ambitious right now, and I'm trying to get to this point, I would like to post a new YouTube video weekly.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that currently, but I think that YouTube is a platform where consistency matters significantly, at least for right now. And I think that there's a lot of opportunity there for growth. And that if you could be consistent with uploading a new video once a week, it could really drastically increase your chances of growing an audience on YouTube.
Yeah, that'd be huge. I hope you do it. I think I'm going to try to film a YouTube video today. We'll see.
Nice. What's it going to be about?
Oh, cycling. I started this cycling affiliate site, and I hope to have started a YouTube channel for it. And I had big plans, and I'm 3 months behind on publishing my first video. So we'll see.
Nice. All right, let's move on to monthly. What needs to be done monthly, Dylan?
Well, it's a whole lot of the same. Publish a new, big piece of content. I like to do 1,000 word, 2,000 word, 3,000 word, massive, hub article. It's like this pillar piece of content that's gonna rank for a huge number of terms. And those take time, and you're not gonna be able to do one of those a week. And so if you can do one a month, that's huge. Even if it's one per quarter, you're probably doing really well.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I think for people who are busy, especially in the busy season for photographers, which is typically now, but
yeah,
unfortunately not this year. Whenever you have a lot of work going on and you just don't have time, trying to blog weekly is not realistic for a lot of people, and it leads them to putting it off. And then in January, they'll post 4 new blog posts and then wait until next January and publish again. And I think so monthly is a good rhythm where it's still consistent. It's achievable. All you have to do is just be a little bit disciplined, and you should be able to hit that kind of goal.
Yeah.
And we already talked about publishing or sharing old content, but I think monthly would be a good time to use tools for setting up that kind of social sharing. Maybe setting up something on Pinterest using Tailwind, this kind of automated sharing of content that you've already worked on is a good thing to work on monthly.
For sure. Yeah, it's something that I personally have seen the value in and just haven't done as regularly as I need to. But I do want to actually sit down and set up Tailwind for Pinterest and Planoly for Instagram and whatever else I can use, because as I'm pushing out content and I'm actually being more active on Facebook, doing this podcast, wanting to get some YouTube videos up, I'm really letting my social channels slip, and I haven't posted a photo to Instagram on my personal page in weeks. So things like that, I do think that planning tools are really important for.
Yeah. And then what else do we have monthly?
You should be reaching out to your past clients and asking them to leave a review, especially the clients that you had a really great interaction with and you think you have good rapport. Getting more reviews is always going to help your local rankings and your authority in general.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things that you should work into your regular follow-up process. You know, after you've delivered the final product to your clients, you ask for review. But this might be a good time to monthly set a reminder to like check in and see who hasn't left you a review yet and maybe do an extra follow-up. You'd be surprised. People feel awkward about this, but I mean, you know, in sales, they say the fortune's in the follow-up. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably true of pretty much everything here. You can follow up 3 or 4 times with people, and usually they want to leave you a review. I know we worked with someone recently, and they asked me to leave them a review, and I said I would, and it's been like 3 weeks now, and like I really want to, I just keep forgetting, or I keep getting busy, or it just kind of moves down my list. But if they followed up one more time, I might do it. And if I said I would and I didn't and they followed up again, I would not be mad at them. I would be like, thanks for reminding me, I know I need to do that, and then I would do it. Obviously, you have to gauge your relationship with your clients and how excited they were and what your normal follow-up looks like, but this could be a good thing to work in monthly.
Yep. Awesome. Should we go on to quarterly, biannual, annual, and whenever it gets bad?
Yeah.
Cool.
I like the whenever it gets bad. Yeah. All right. What's up first?
Yeah. So first I had content strategy creation or update. So usually I do this quarterly to biannual. And that's where I look at my blog. I look at what's working. I look at what's ranking. And then I look at competitors and what opportunities I have and where I can actually tailor my blog content to keep growing or grow even more exponential. I think that quarterly is going to be possibly too often for most photographers. Biannual might work, and annual is probably going to be most common.
Yeah. And I think this is a really good time to look into potentially subscribing to a tool like SEMrush or Ahrefs for a month.
Yep.
It's going to cost you $100 or $180 or whatever it is for the subscription that you choose. But you could do it for just 1 month at the beginning or the end of the year and go ahead and plan. We have a whole segment of our blogging course that goes into this and talks about how do you use these tools? How do you create a content plan that's actually likely to drive real significant traffic and not just pick random topics that are never going to bring anybody to your site? And we would probably do that process that we outline in the course once or twice a year.
Cool.
And then after that, I guess, you know, auditing your existing content, because now hopefully after you've been thinking about working on your SEO and it's been, let's say, a year or 6 months, you should have some content. It should have some rankings. And now's a great time to go into Search Console and see what's ranking. Where are the opportunities for things that might be on page 2 that you could potentially bump up to page 1 with a little more focus? Where have you been missing the keywords? Just recently, we had a post on Feel Your Photos that was about checking your Google rank. And I went in and I was going to like do a full rewrite. I'm like, I just don't have time and I don't know that I can compete and it's not worth my time. But I'm going to tweak this a little bit. I looked at Search Console and I saw that the main terms that were driving impressions were different than the way that I was wording it. Did a slight tweak to the title, added a few other paragraphs that were like focusing on the new intent that I was seeing. Mm-hmm. And what was it? The next day it had like 20,000 more impressions or something like that.
Yeah. 27,000 more. So like it's currently, it's pretty incredible. I think that post is actually going to drive some really strong traffic, even with the small changes you made.
Yeah. I mean, so that kind of thing, I don't do that every day. I don't do that every month even, but whenever I sit down to do that kind of thing, and sometimes you'll find those opportunities where you're like, oh, I was missing the mark on the way that people are searching for this or what they actually wanted when they searched for this. Like, oh, I was trying to teach people a method. What they were looking for was tools. Mm-hmm. So changing the way that you title that and changing the, make sure that you had a list of tools in there is all the difference it takes to make a huge difference in ranking.
Yeah. Gosh, just looking at those numbers, it's pretty insane.
That said like 10 million impressions over the past year or something.
And so the day you made the change, it jumped up to 37,000 impressions for the day. Not bad.
Yeah, it's crazy. But not everybody's going to have that kind of thing. It's still important to go back and see what content is performing. Is there any content that's competing? What could be doing better? What do you need to get rid of? Like, this is always what you need to be thinking of. Every at least every year, but maybe twice a year, four times a year, you need to be sitting down and saying, what's working, what's not working, how do I take what I'm learning from this and improve going forward and fix things the way they are now.
Yep. I think next, for regularly, like quarterly, setting goals for your key performance indicators. And so this is where you need to sit down and actually figure out what those key performance indicators are for your project, for your site, and making sure that those are tied to your actual business performance and not just like vanity metrics. So typical mistakes that some photographers make would be looking for something like a Moz domain authority. That's not something you want as your key performance indicator, because that's, if your domain authority goes from 20 to 40, you're not making more revenue and you're not booking more clients. It's something to maybe look at and watch and keep in mind, but this isn't how you should dictate if your SEO has been successful or not. What you might want to look at is like number of inquiries or number of bookings from organic search, or even like organic search traffic might be something worthwhile. So deciding what those key indicators are and then setting goals is pretty key.
Yeah, and I will say that something I've learned over the years and that I try to keep in mind is that I don't necessarily want to set goals that are numbers that I don't control. Yeah. Instead, I might want to set those as goals like somewhat mentally, but then I want to think, okay, to get to that number, what are the goals that I can set that I do control? So for example, something we talked about at the beginning of the year is we would love to get to 100,000 page views per month on Feel Your Photos. Well, here's the thing. I don't control those. Like, I'm not the one doing the page viewing, right? Someone else is in control of whether they view my page or not. What am I in control of, though? Creating new content, right? So instead of like, hey, I want to hit 100,000 page views a month, I need to say, I know that on average, my great posts get around 1,000 page views a month. So that means I need 100 pieces of content. I currently have 40. So I need 60 new pieces of content over the next year to hit that goal. So yes, you have the goal ultimately, but like the actual goal that you can control is creating new content or finding new ways to promote that content, improving that content, etc. But the idea is all of those things are things I can control, whereas I can't control page views. I can't control views on my videos. I can control the quality of the video, the number of the video that I put out, etc.
Totally. That's awesome. The last thing we have on our notes here is to check performance trends. So I like to look at the Google Search Console performance report and see how many of my pages is it classifying as either slow, normal, or fast. I have a weekly GT Metrics report that gets emailed to me, and it tells me what my average page loading time was, and then if there's any issues there. And then I like to check Google PageSpeed Insights. Like, it's always changing, but I want to see what the trend is with that score. Is it all of a sudden really bad? Do I have an issue? Is my hosting not doing well? Do I have a plugin that's causing my site to not load properly? Something like that. I think that in general, the trend on the web right now is to really concentrate on performance, and the standards are getting more and like harder and harder to get each day. And so I think at least every 6 months or a year, you need to kind of sit down and be like, am I keeping up?
Yeah, because I mean, like, some of those things can go back to the part where we were talking about weekly or daily setting up monitors. It's like you said, you have a GT Metrics monitor, it gets sent to you. I'm sure you can set up monitors on performance in other ways. Yep. Kingdom does it too, I think. Anyway, the point is, some of that's monitoring, but I like your thought of making this an annual task, because another thing I was just thinking about is browsers update frequently. Yeah. And things like plugins that you might use. Like the other day, I was working on a site that I set up for a friend like 5 or 6 years ago, and I went to their site and the Google API for the map that we had embedded had expired or changed, and so their map was just showing this like big, are you the owner of this site, blah blah blah. And then like I've seen other people who have Instagram widgets or something not saying that we promote these or encourage them, but if you do have them, it's very common for those plugins to get updated or Instagram to require new API verification and for you not to log in and see that. So even just like checking your site in general, checking on, you know, hey, you just got the new iPhone. Well, go check on your site and see, is it still looking good with this year's technology?
Yeah.
That kind of thing is important to make sure that you're keeping up with the way the technology is moving.
Good call. I think that's all I have in the notes for this episode. Do you have any other thoughts before we call it a day?
Man, I think maybe one thing that came to mind is we didn't really talk about guest posting.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like going and looking for backlinks.
Totally.
Definitely something you should have on your list. And we did talk about networking and building relationships, but I guess maybe guest posting is something you could add that you do have control over and you could make a regular part of your schedule. I would probably put that in the monthly, but maybe quarterly.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to be blogging for yourself weekly or monthly,
you're busy.
Then I would say, you know, write a new piece of content for someone else quarterly, maybe monthly, whatever you can make work. If you can get them to publish it and you can get a link from that, that could be a really good thing to work in.
Yeah, these are, I think guest posting, that's something that I like to do maybe probably quarterly, sounds right, or every six months, where I actually sit down, I look for all of the opportunities, I dedicate at least a week or two to actually fulfilling these opportunities, and I do like a mass outreach where I might email 10 or 20 or more different publications or people that I want to work with. And then I just know that I'm going to spend the next few weeks not working on my own content on my own site, but just doing these guest posts.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that backlink building, I think because it is a little bit more passive, I would do that probably either weekly or monthly, where I'm looking for the opportunities and I'm just reaching out to people and saying like, hey, like I have this piece of content that I think you'd be interested in linking to, check it out, something like that.
And we talked much more about that in episode 3, I think.
Yeah.
We talked about backlinks. So, you know, that kind of add that into your things to do regularly list for sure. Listen to that episode for more ideas.
Totally.
All right. Is that it? Do we have anything else for today?
I think that's it. It's about the 7th day of the pandemic for me. So I think I'm going to go sit outside and social distance a little bit. And yeah, we're planning on doing a fun SEO challenge this week, but I think you'll be able to get into it at any time in the next few weeks. Go to feelyourphotos.com/challenge to sign up, and we're going to be sending a daily email to your inbox with some cool SEO tips.
Yeah, we'll leave that in the show notes. And speaking of show notes, we'd love to hear from you. So on our site, feelyourphotos.com/podcast, you can find each episode, and then on each episode page, you can leave comments. That's the best way to interact with us directly. And on this episode, I'd love to hear what are things that you are doing daily, monthly, weekly, or annually on your SEO? What have we left out that you're working on? What's worked for you in the past? And if you have any questions, of course, you can leave them there or in the Feel Your Photos Facebook group. And if you like this podcast, we'd appreciate subscription, review, whatever the things are that you can do on your podcast app to let people know about it. Share it with someone who you think would appreciate it, and we'll try to keep pumping them out.
Awesome. Sounds good. Stay safe, everybody. Have a good day.
All right. See you later.